Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
Of course.
Darn tootin'.
You turn tootin', of course. All right, we got us a full stable here today. For Movie Saturday, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. We're streaming live from the White Stallion Ranch. And like I said, we got a full stable coming up here. Bob Bozbell from True West Magazine is with us. Johnny Boggs, Western Riders of America, is with us.
10-time Spur winner.
And he's probably writing a book while we do it as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to all of that before we, but first we got to do the bunker.
Coming from you from Bunker's Bunkhouse is the good, the bad, and the bovine. Now I'm going to explain that for Mr. Boggs and for Mr. Bell. What I do is I take today's date, which just happens to be the 29th, and I go back 3 days in time. And then I go forward 3 days in time. But I'm not going forward in forward time. I'm going forward in backward time.
So now, if everyone's confused, we can continue.
Okay, now I'm going to start with August 26, 1949. This is a special one for me. Kathy Ohako. She was an actress, a stunt woman, a stunt double. Did lots of stunt work. I'm going to run down some of her resume real quick for you. Purple Rain, 1984. Ruthless People, 1986. Three Amigos, on and on. She's part of the Ohako ranching family up in Winslow. They operate the Chevron Butte Cattle Company. And she is the sister to Jeff and Danny Ohako. We had Danny on a few months ago.
Yep.
Now, on the 27th of August in 1776, British troops under General William Howe flank and defeat the Continental Army in its first major battle under the command of General George Washington during the Battle of Long Island, with the 1st Maryland Regiment sustaining heavy casualties to cover the retreating American troops.
You have to pronounce it correctly. It's Long Island.
Long
Island.
Long Island?
No, yet it's hard G. No, hard G. Long Island.
Hard G.
Hard G. Long Island.
That's what I said, Long Island. Anyhow, on August 28, 1841.
Wow. Really, that's a big wow.
That's how they say it back there.
We're not back there, we're here. Anyhow, on August 28, 1841, this little French guy, Froggy, Louis-Émile Augustin Le Prince. You know that name?
No, I do not.
Oh, he's important. He was a French artist, a cinematographer, and the inventor of an early motion picture camera. The first picture he directed was Round Hay Garden Scene, possibly the first person to shoot a moving picture sequence using a single lens camera with a strip of film. The film lasted, now you got to be ready for this, 3 seconds.
Wow.
But the film is believed to be the oldest surviving motion picture.
Wow.
Now on today, August 29th, but in 1789, Shays' Rebellion began in Massachusetts as an armed uprising of farmers and Revolutionary War veterans over debt and high tax burdens. Sounds like today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tomorrow, but not tomorrow, but tomorrow, and that's August 30th, 1918, and this is for you, Mr. Boggs, Ted Williams, professional baseball player and manager. He had a 15-year career, primarily as a left fielder, but also as a manager. He played for the Boston Red Sox from 1939 to 1960, with an interruption for military service in World War II and Korea. Now, that's an American.
One of the great ball players of all time.
Amen. Now, this one is for Mr. Boggs, because I wanted to keep, for Mr. Bell, because I wanted to keep it balanced and show no favoritism between our guests.
Okay.
August 31st, 1870, I think it's 6, I don't know, I left the last number off. Edward Ferguson Jr. was born. He was known as Pa Ferguson. He was the 26th governor of Texas from 1915 to 1917, was indicted and impeached, removed from office, and barred from holding further Texas office. But his wife, Ma Ferguson, ended up doing two terms as governor, but non-consecutively. And I think Mr. Boggs, that's right. Mr. Boggs, I got Boggs on my brain. Mr. Bell, I think that's right up your alley. And I'm going to finish up now with one of my favorite all-time writers. And you're probably going to think I'm nuts. September 1st, 1875, Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're going to say, oh, well, he, cowboys don't swing through the trees.
No.
Well,
no.
But during his writing career.
He's drinking up bourbon, they do.
Yeah, that's true. He swung from the chandeliers. But anyhow, during his writing career, he wrote some novels in the western genre. Those novels were The Bandit of Hell's Bend, The War Chief, Apache Devil, The Deputy Sheriff of Comanche County. I've got that on my shelf at home. The Return of the Mucker, The Oakdale Affair, The Girl from Hollywood. And this is the interesting stuff. That when he was 16 years old, he worked on his brother's ranch up in Idaho, and he served time in the 7th Cavalry in Arizona in the late 1890s. And that was the week that was, wasn't, and never will be again.
Thank goodness. No, I'm teasing.
Now, if our guests are still awake.
Yeah, they're still with us. They haven't hung up or left us, so good. It's good. It's Movie Saturday here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We do this every last Saturday of the month out at the White Stallion Ranch because we like this place.
And we can.
And we can. There you go. Bob Bosbell from True West Magazine is our guest, along with Johnny Boggs, Western Writers of America, big-time Spur Award winner. And we're talking the big guys at the box office and the historical guys at the box office.
Is that, who had the most movies?
Who had the most movies?
Well, this is Bob Bobel's idea.
All right.
We're going to give him credit.
And blame.
Boggs is definitely more than an expert. But I called Bob about an idea for a show, and he said, Todd, there's no show there. So I said, well, Bob, I got you on the phone, so what ideas do you have? Since I can make sure I can make sure I spent the quarter or the dime wisely. And he goes, well, I got a show in mind. The show I had in mind was Who's the Champ? Who had more movies made about them as a real person than anybody else?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, who would that be, Bob? He said, without hesitation. My God, it slipped out like a pig out of a chute. Billy the Kid. I went, okay, that's a show, Bob. Let's go. So here we are. You guys take it from here.
All right. Is it Billy the Kid, Bob, and Johnny?
Yes, by a long shot. I think we edited it up about 10 years ago. The numbers may have shifted slightly with all the new movies that have come out. But at that time, Billy the Kid had 67 films.
Holy
based on his life.
Wow.
And if memory serves me correct, I think Jesse James was at about 35, and Wyatt Earp was in that same zone. Johnny, do you have a different take on that?
Yeah, Billy the Kid had about 75, and Jesse James. Jesse James was around 40.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I can add to that, just to throw pandemonium into the discussion, we're not including television, things like Billy the Kid series, which ran for 2 years.
Right, I'm talking about feature films, made-for-TV films. Yeah.
What is it about that particular character that warranted that many films to be made about him?
Well, here's my take on that, and I'm dying to hear Johnny's. But, you know, Marcel Duchamp, who is the father of contemporary art, in his deathbed, he said, and I quote, contradiction is the entire point. That was his deathbed confession. And if you take the Billy the Kid story, on one hand, he's an all-American boy.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, he's a cold-blooded killer. And those two things do not go together, and that gives him the power.
Huh. Interesting.
You know, here's an interesting...
Well, let Johnny chime in there.
Go ahead. Well,
I mean, one thing you need to take into consideration with Billy the Kid was a lot of the movies made about him were from producers, releasing corporation. These were the little
bees.
Hour-long pot boilers, rushed and like make them release them about almost once a month sometimes. And everybody said PRC, Producers Releasing Corporation, stood for Pretty Rotten Crap.
I know, talking about my favorites.
I didn't think so.
Well, you know, just on that same footnote, Bob Steele and Buster Crabbe, between the two of them portraying the kid not very accurately, there was at least a series of 42 films from 40 to 47.
Yeah. So that spiked up the numbers, and it probably makes it a slightly an unfair competition, but it does really underscore what a large influence he's had on the culture. He certainly is the reason I got into this. My family was on vacation to go to Iowa. I grew up in Cayman, and my dad had to go to the family farm every summer, and we were in New Mexico, and I actually got him to stop at a place called the Longhorn Museum, which was 48 miles east of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Nice.
And my grandpa had given me a shiny quarter, and he said, buy something. And so I was in the buying mood, and I was in there, and this place was like a studio, you know, with cow horns, saddles everywhere, ropes, and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I said, how much for that flintlock rifle, sir? And the guy said, $100. And I said, well, I'll give you a quarter. And I didn't know the horse trade thing yet. So I looked over and I saw this photo. And I said, how much for this photo? It's a photo of Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett. And he said, it's a quarter. So I bought the photo. And then my dad took me out the car and threw me in the 57 Ford so they could get back on Route 66 and catch all the trucks that got by us while we were in the museum. And I got home and I put that picture up on the wall. And I thought, someday I'm going to have a hat like that. It was my idol. And, you know, about a week later, my mom had to go to Desert Drugs in downtown Kingman. And I left the front of the store to buy my favorite magazine, which was True West. And on page 32, I discovered the photograph I bought at the Longhorn Museum for a quarter was a fake.
It
was
fake.
The rodeo parade in 1928, you know, and so that made me so mad that I eventually bought the magazine.
You got even with them. That's teaching.
I love it.
Well, let me ask you guys this. There was a movie came out in 2021 called Old Henry. And it
so
was
good.
Supposedly about, and it was a good movie, but it was supposedly about the Billy the Kid after he was killed. And, you know, the character was supposed to be, wasn't Brushy Bill or whatever it was. But any thoughts on that one?
Old Henry. I think it was Henry.
Johnny, why don't you take that one?
Oh, from what I remember, yeah, you're right. It was a pretty decent movie. Nothing to do with history, but a pretty decent movie. Which is, you know, one of the things about these movies. I mean, a lot of them, you know, were crap. But you know, some of them were actually pretty good. And again, I always say, you know, you don't go to a movie to watch history.
Well,
you go to a movie to be entertained. If you want to watch history, you watch a documentary, and sometimes the documentaries are entertaining and accurate, and sometimes they're not quite as accurate or quite as entertaining.
You know, Harry, and my favorite Billy the Kid movie is the 1930 Johnny Mack Brown movie.
Yep.
And that's because I think... I grew up over there. All of us kids, we were steeped in Billy the Kid.
I think Wallace Beery was in that. Bunches of others.
But I think he captured the spirit of Billy the Kid.
I think so. I mean, I've not seen that many Billy the Kid movies, but that particular movie really resonates for me anyway. It was good entertainment. I don't know how accurate it was, but it was good entertainment.
Well, as the old vaqueros are fond of saying, history is a cruel trick played on the dead by the living. Now, the movie which we have to talk about is Young Guns, and Young Guns 2.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to make another one of, if you believe the Rusty Bill story, which they, with John Fusco, who wrote that screenplay and directed it, if you, you know, his premise is that Brushy Bill was really the Billy the Kid. And that, Brushy Bill, lived until 1950. Hmm. So technically, you could have him on Omaha Beach. supposedly, they're doing the new Young Guns, and he's going to, middle-aged Billy the Kid is going to be mentoring Pancho Villa, or
Pancho needs it.
Yeah, Pancho needs it. He needed a little mentoring. So anyway, that's allegedly the theme, but it's been kind of quiet. Have you heard anything about it, Johnny? About that film being made?
Nope, not much. Nope.
They allegedly Emilio Estevez went to the governor of New Mexico. This is like 6 months ago. And it looked like the thing was really heating up and it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden it disappeared.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I got to say one thing about Young Guns. None of those guys could ride in a boxcar. They were terrible.
Well, yes, but one thing you can also say about Young Guns is it helped reinvigorate the Westerns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did.
It was the young punk Westerns, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But you it got people going back to the... I mean, there weren't a whole lot of Westerns being made in the 1980s at that time.
Yeah.
And that reinvigorated the Westerns. As I've always said, it takes... You know, one, even if it's not a great movie, it takes like one Young Guns or a couple of movies like that to get interested in mm-hmm. Westerns, and it takes one Bad Girls to kill it for another generation or two.
Well, you know, the best thing in that movie was Pat Wayne as Pat Garrett. I thought he did a marvelous job nailing it.
Yeah, I did. I just saw the... Restless Rhapsody. I rewatched that, and he's fabulous in that. He's a good bad guy. That is just such a brilliant film. I really enjoyed that.
Todd Roberts, get in there.
So I just because I'm contrary and I like to, you know, I say I don't like to argue, but I. In truth, he does.
He stirs the pot.
You know, I need to know where all the players on today's show sit. On this issue, Billy the Kid versus Dracula. So cough it up, Bob, then Johnny. Thank you so much.
That is deep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the proverbial punch bowl where somebody puts something in there that rhymes with third.
Yeah, it ain't spiked.
Yeah.
And it's not a herd.
No, it's not a herd. I don't think I've ever seen it. Johnny, have you seen Billy Kid vs. Dracula? I got to look that up.
I watched all the movies I could find on Billy the Kid and all the movies I could find on Jesse James. And Billy the Kid is worse than Jesse James meets Frankenstein's daughter. In fact, John Carradine,
the daughter was
John
beautiful.
John Carradine, who plays
Dracula.
Dracula, yes, yeah. He says, you know, I've made many, you know, he's in The Grapes of Wrath, for God's sakes. He's made some really, really great movies, and he's a really great actor. He said, I've made many movies. I've made great movies. I've made bad movies. The worst movie I ever did was Billy the Kid.
Dracula.
Versus Dracula.
Oh, my God. All right.
What's funny, though, is that it not only has John Carradine, it's also got Olive Berry.
Yeah, she was good in it. She was the best thing in it.
And it's got Harry Carey Jr., her son.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right, we got to do our first commercial break here. On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. And we are streaming live from the White Stallion Ranch just north of Tucson. Beautiful place. Come on out. Check them out on the web. And just search for White Stallion Ranch and you'll find us. We're talking with Bob Bowes-Bell from True West Magazine and WWA author Johnny Boggs. And we'll be right back after this.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
I'll give you $10 an acre better than top price for that section of yours in 43.
Well, I couldn't take that, Mr. Jode.
I'll throw in a corner business lot right here in Red Dust.
Well, I couldn't do it. That would be selling out the rest of the settlers.
That isn't good business, Mr. Hardy. Let the other settlers take care of themselves.
And perhaps Mr. Hardy has a code that he'd like to live up to.
I'm talking business with Mr. Hardy, my friend.
Call me Stevens. I couldn't choose my name, but I can choose my friends.
This is the Voices of the West.
Pals never change. Make my home in that carefree country, land of the open range.
We're back on Emil Francie's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts with you. Bobo's Bell is our guest, along with Johnny Boggs.
And a cat on the table.
And the ranch cat is trying to get up to get more snackies.
He wants to be on the show.
He wants to be on the show. I need to set up another microphone. Anyway, you can't go wrong with some Ray Whitley
never.
On a Saturday afternoon. Never,
never
as
never.
Far as I'm concerned. All right.
Musical interlude.
Musical interlude, indeed. Let's talk about the Jesse James movies. And again, I'll ask that question. What is it about Jesse James that attracts producers, writers, or whatever to do these movies?
He's a fabulous character. And about 2 years ago, I'd never been to Missouri, and I flew into Kansas City and met Mark Lee Gardner, who's the author of Shot All to Hell. He's working on the new Jesse James a book. And so we went on a tour. We started out at James Farm just outside of Kansas City. We went as far east as Centralia, where the battle was. We also went up a side road to see where Bloody Bill Anderson was. You know what's incredible about the story is these guys were just little kids. Some of them were 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do these horrible things when they would at the Battle of Centralia, they played with the dead bodies. They killed these 153 soldiers, and then they cut their heads off and put them on other heads, and they're goofing around like 15-year-olds.
Oh, my God.
And their leader, Bloody Bill Anderson, they called him the old man.
He was 16.
He was
16, right?
He was 23 years old.
Oh, my God.
And they called him the old man. So that's what, to me, is the striking thing, just how young they were and how ridiculous whole situation was.
Wow.
And I'm curious for Johnny. Hey, Johnny, what do you think is the best Jesse James movie?
Well, the best Jesse James movie? Well, I think it's The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. It's also probably the best. It's also the best novel I think I've ever read about Jesse James too, by Ron Hanson, who also wrote a great novel called Desperados about the Dalton Gang. Mm-hmm. And his last one was The Kid about 10 years ago about Billy the Kid.
That's awesome.
Now, what's weird about The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, which, by the way, Brad Pitt put it in his contract that the movie theater tech would not clip that title. And so you'd go to the theater and hear letters are running off the side of the bar. I don't think it helped the movie that he did that.
Try and put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I gotta say that I think it's the only movie filmed in Canada that actually worked for the Western, because I tried to watch the Billy the Kid series, and when they were trying to, they were showing a wagon train in the Cascade Mountains, the Rocky Mountains of Canada, and it's supposed to be Kansas, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm out of here, I can't watch. But they pulled it off with the Jesse James, The Assassination, and I think that movie captures the soul of Jesse better than anyone.
Huh. Okay.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because it seems like, you know, Jesse James was, during his lifetime, was already a legend, and so much was written about him. So many people followed him all over the Americas at that time. And I don't think that ever really died off. I think among all of these different people here, he has always stayed in the limelight.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you'd have to say that historically, Jesse James did not diminish. He was, they showed him early and often. And what happened to Billy the Kid is this: Billy the Kid was forgotten. Okay,
right.
And in the 1900s, Pancho Villa attacked Columbus, New Mexico.
Right.
And a sports writer from Chicago was tasked with being a reporter, and they sent him on a train down to Deming, and he went out to Columbus to cover the story, and then he went down the tracks to El Paso to do more follow-up on the story, and he went into the Coney Island Saloon to get a beer, and he was sitting at the bar, and he looked down the bar, and there was a pistol there. And he said, who's that pistol belong to? And he said, that pistol belongs to the most famous guy from these parts. And the writer said, who is that? And the bartender said, well, Billy the Kid. And the writer said, who's Billy the Kid?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what the writer was, okay? So he goes home, and his sister's living in Albuquerque. And he, 7 years later, goes out to visit her, and he borrows a car, and he drives out to Fort Sumner, and he interviews Paulita Maxwell, who was Billy the Kid's girlfriend, and he publishes in 1924 the first Book of the Month Club book called The Saga of Billy the Kid by Walter Noble Burns, and that's when Billy the Kid takes off.
Right.
Would you agree with that, Johnny, or what did I get wrong?
Yes, I think Billy the Kid was, again, he was a third-rate outlaw in the Western history annals. I mean, nobody really cared too much about him until Walter Noble Burns' book came out. Someone had asked, who remembers Billy the Kid? Nobody remembered before that. Nobody remembered Billy the Kid. After Burns' book came out, everybody knew who Billy the Kid was. I mean, it was that big of a bestseller.
Well,
And totally inaccurate, but
when I was when I was a kid in New Mexico, every bar and beer joint in New Mexico had Billy the Kid's pistol. Everyone.
Yeah. Now, it's funny you should say that, because I was going to visit a friend in Reno, Carson City, actually, and we're driving up through Nevada, and we stop in Goldfield, which is a ghost town now, and there's a great little restaurant there, and I said, Sam, where's the restaurant? He said, you have to go into the bar. And so I go into the bar, it's morning, you know, there's nobody in there. It smells like, beer and Lysol. And And I look, and I'm walking toward the bathroom, and behind the bar, there's a pistol, and the plaque underneath it said, "This is the only gun in the West that did not kill Billy the Kid."
All right, I got to encase one of my firearms with that.
There you go. He's a shotgun.
Yeah, my shotgun, exactly. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's talk about Wyatt Earp.
Well, it's, now here, it's funny you should say that, because it's a continuation of the Walter Noble Burns story.
Ah.
So here's what happens, is that Wyatt Earp is in the last outlaw town, which is Hollywood, and he is friends with Tom Mix and William S. Hart, and he wants to sell his story, and he can't get arrested. Well, he does get arrested for bunco steering, but he cannot get
arrested. He was an old con man.
Yeah, no shit.
He cannot do his story. So then a funny thing happens, okay? When Teddy Roosevelt is in the White House, he invites all these Westerners. You know, he appointed Pat Garrett, the customs collector. He had Geronimo in his parade, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And invited Bab Masterson, who was a sports writer by then, mm-hmm. in New York City, and he invites him down to the White House, and he says, "Who's the most famous, the best gunman in the West?" And Bab Masterson said, "Wyatt Earp. The true story of the West will never be told until Wyatt Earp talks, and Wyatt Earp isn't talking." And a young press secretary named Stuart Lake goes out to Hollywood to find him, and so does Walter Noble Burns, who's looking for a new character after the death of Billy the Kid. So Walter Noble Burns finds Wyatt Earp. You know, he's living out in Vidal, California, which is across the border from Parker, Arizona. He has a mining claim there, and he finds an old man, you know, an old man, he's almost 80 years old, and every answer is yep, or nope, or don't recall. After, so he says, "I want to write your story," and says, "I already have it all. I can't do this. You didn't want to lose the money, right?" So Walter Noble Burns shifts gears, and he says, "Hey, you knew Doc Holliday, right?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm going to talk about Doc. I'll do Doc Holliday." And so he gives him all this information. And then Walter Noble Burns comes out with Tombstone. And in one of the chapters is the Lion of Tombstone, which is Wyatt Earp. And so now Wyatt Earp missed another payday, and he's totally crestfallen. And in comes Stuart Lake, and he agrees to go with him. And then he dies, Wyatt Earp dies, and his last words are, suppose.
Oh, my God.
Story. And so now Wyatt Earp comes out of nowhere, just like Billy the Kid, and they both come very close. Well, certainly Billy the Kid passed Jesse James, but Wyatt Earp probably did, too.
So the book out called El Dorado, written by one of the deputies under Behan.
Billy Breckinridge.
Yeah, under Behan. And that, I haven't read that book yet, but I'm fixing to order it.
Yeah, you got to read it. It's a book. And he also came out to Wyatt Earp's camp and interviewed Wyatt for his book, and then burned him and blamed the OK Corral on him and the Cowboys. You know, we're shot down by people. So Wyatt Earp was just burned right and left. He couldn't buy a break. Just abandoned me. What's your take on
it?
Well, Breckinridge stayed with them. He put them up. He stayed there with them in their house. He put them up and he fed them, him and everything. Was a really nice host, and he said thank you so much. Then he left and trashed him in the book, like you said, Bob. That's a lot of class on Breckinridge's part.
Well, he served under Behan, and we know what kind of class Behan had, which is zero.
Well, and Wyatt referred to Behan as a tax collector,
yeah.
And he referred to Breckinridge as a jailer.
Well, in any event, we have to take our next commercial break now.
Okey-dokey.
Right here on Emo Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Our guests are Johnny Boggs, Western Writers of America author, probably writing a book as we speak. And Bob Bozbell from True West Magazine. We're talking about the heavy hitters out of Hollywood. And we'll be back with much more about that right after this. These important messages. Stay tuned.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Maybe we just don't believe in trouble and trouble till trouble troubles us.
I ain't so sure the marshal would shoot a man in the back.
Well, then he'll turn you around and shoot you.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Our guests are Bob Bozbell from True West Magazine and WWA author Johnny Boggs. And for Bob and Johnny, in case you're not aware, I have to play that High Chaparral theme at the bottom of the break there because DeFrance was in 50-plus episodes of that show, and he walks if I don't play it.
That's right. I was halfway out the door. Okay, I want to throw a movie out at you guys. This is from the Wyatt Earp genre. Tombstone Rashomon. I've seen it. Has anybody else ever seen it?
You were in it, weren't you?
No, I didn't work on it. Oh. Because I got to tell you, it was the movie was the transcript from the trial.
Okay, yeah.
And then the guy that played Doc Holliday is the best doc I've ever seen. Wow. You swear to God, the guy was dying of tuberculosis watching the movie.
Damn.
But has anybody else seen Tombstone Rashomon?
Yes, I saw it when I was doing my wider book. I checked it out, and it's interesting because it comes from the Rashomon theme. From, you know, you leave one side, and then you go to the other side, and you play that side.
The only thing wrong with that movie was the sheriff's car driving down the street.
Johnny, have you seen it?
I have not. But I'd rather watch Rashomon, I'm pretty sure.
Did you see The Outrage? Paul Newman, that was the American Rashomon. And man,
yeah, so I would rather see the original.
Amen. And I worked on it. That was my first movie.
Yeah. I think wasn't that Rashomon Wyatt Earp thing? Wasn't that it was a documentary, wasn't it? I don't think it was a full-blown movie, was it?
Oh, it was a kind of a hybrid. It was documentary in that it was the transcript from the trial, but it was you watching it. It feels like a movie, not like a documentary.
Well, it's like that Travis Mills movie where their name escapes me now, where They're up in Wickenburg, or
oh, you're talking about Pearl Bar?
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's this interesting thing about Tombstone Rashomon. It opens with Sheriff Behan sitting in a director's chair with the makeup girl giving him a touch up.
Okay.
And he starts talking about, you know, the trial and everything. Okay. Alex Cox is a. I met the man, and he did a talk. He showed it and had a talk on it. Interesting.
All right, so we've covered Billy the Kid, we've covered Jesse James, and we've covered a little bit of Wyatt Earp. Who is next in that line?
Can I throw out a guy?
Please.
Let me say one more thing about, you know, just about Wyatt Earp. I mean, comparing the other two characters or historical figures. I mean, you know, Jesse James and Frank James, I mean, that's Civil War. That's set in, you know, one of the ugliest regions of this of the pre-Civil War and Civil War. No one wanted, I mean, real estate agents must have had a terrible time in Kansas and Missouri during that period. You can see how that can translate into a continuing legend of characters and westerns and fiction and nonfiction and everything like that, and then we get to you know, Billy the Kid, and you're talking about a really brutal, ugly range war in New Mexico, mm-hmm. where there really wasn't much good on either side, and you can see how that can expand into a continuing series of more and more movies, more and more books, stuff like that. But the gunfight at OK Corral was basically a misdemeanor arrest that went terribly, stupidly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that become a legendary gunfight?
Writers.
Well, the fact that the national press did not pick it up for a couple of weeks, actually. And I know there's stories out there that say, oh, yeah, the national press was there. No, they weren't.
It was picked up in one or two papers.
One or two papers.
More,
the Epitaph did it. The Arizona Daily Star, I think it was, did a story about it. And that was kind of it.
Kind of like a one or two column.
But you look at historical pages of the New York Times, it ain't in there.
No.
No, Johnny makes a really good point. That is, it has an outcry reputation. Then what happened is, in the 60s, two researchers, Frank Waters, the writer, and John Gilfreath, they discovered the deathbed, on Wyatt Earp's wife, mm-hmm. who died of an overdose of laudanum. Mm-hmm. And they found papers on that and published that he had a quote, you know, Wyatt Earp ruined my life, and had a drug overdose. And John Gilfreath said, Wyatt Earp will never be a hero again. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty ironic that, you know, in 1993, two competing movies came out, Tombstone, starring Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer, and then Kevin Costner as Wyatt Earp coming into Mexico. They were filming at the same time almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they both came out together, and they both dealt with the drugs situation.
Mm-hmm. Which
I think is pretty amazing. Johnny, what's your take on that?
Yep, I agree.
The TV series with Hugh O'Brien, I think, kind of had a big boost in getting the name back out again.
Well, that was because of Stuart Lake. Hugh read the book or a script or something like that and said, yeah, I want to do that.
That was a studio project.
Well, in any event, it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, okay. it came directly from Stuart Lake. I think he got
texted
on it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? In Stuart Lake, I think he lived that long. I'm not positive.
I want to throw a guy out to you guys.
Died in the 50s or something?
I want to throw a guy out here. Buffalo Bill Cody During his lifetime, there were 48 short films made on him. That puts him up way up there on the list. And then, of course, a lot of movies made since then. Most of them, him as a secondary character. But, you know, he played a big role in a lot of stuff.
Yep, yep. He was huge. He was an international star. I was in Paris, and I went to Paris to track down one of my artist heroes, and that's Vincent Van Gogh. And I started in the Netherlands, went to Nuenen, which is where he grew up, and then went down to Paris. And there's still the Buffalo Bill Farr. In London. I mean, it is a huge deal there still to this day.
And, you know, think about this. Two silent epics featured him. He wasn't the star of the main thing. The Iron Horse and Pony Express.
I mean, you can argue that Bob Bozbell doesn't have a magazine. I don't have any novels coming out. And you don't have a show to host if it's not for Buffalo Bill Cody.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was the
face.
There's no doubt about that.
He was Mr. Show Business then.
So although Cody didn't have that many films made about him, he had a few. But, you know, where do you sit between Joel McRae and Paul Newman?
Oh, Joel McRae.
Oh, Paul Newman sucked in that.
Joel McRae all the way.
I wasn't asking you, Bunker. I'm asking our two guests.
Well, I'm answering
Thank you
anyway.
Very much.
You're welcome.
Boggs, Bell.
I don't think Buffalo Bill or the Newman movie. I don't think either is a good movie.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem is it's hard to put a conflict in there. The point about Billy the Kid being the two polarities of Buffalo Bill is really more of an actor. I mean, he did have a career as a scout, and he did have a couple of incidents, you know, the killing of Yellow Hand, etc. But I just don't think his story has legs, as they say. What do you think, John?
Johnny? I think Buffalo Bill Cody plays better in a novel than he does in a film. Mm. I think it's easy to make a good novel about it. I mean, I've written a lot about Buffalo Bill in novels, and he's a great character to write about, but he doesn't always translate that well on screen.
Mm. You know, an interesting kind of, it was a Lonesome Dove, the series, the first season, the last several episodes, Dennis Weaver played him, and it was a real interesting take because it was Buffalo Bill out recruiting cowboys and Indians for his Wild West show.
Yeah, when you think of that, Sitting Bull was actually in the show. That's pretty outrageous, you know. He'll call it Custer, and then he's in the show. You know, that had to be even. Geronimo in a parade in Washington.
I know.
D.C.
Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt's inauguration.
I know, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And here's the story on that. So Geronimo was such a salesman. He would go down to the when he was a prisoner of war in Lawton, Oklahoma, he would go down and he would have beads, and he would give people get up to train and say, "I'm Geronimo," and he'd make like $40, you know, from honest signing autographs. So Washington, Teddy Roosevelt says, "I want to have Geronimo in my parade." And so the army contacts him, and he said, Geronimo says, "Send me $140 and I'll come." And so he gets $140, and he gets on a train by himself with a suitcase, and at every stop, he gets out and says, "I'm Geronimo," and he sells all the pictures he has. He sells the buttons on his coat and gets back on the train and pulls out a sewing kit and sews more buttons on his coat, and he gets to Washington, D.C., and the Army says, "Where's your horse?" And he said, "Oh, you'll find me another one. I didn't bring it." So the dude died with $10,000 in the bank.
Oh, my God.
Imagine what Geronimo could have done on Wall Street.
What a salesman. We got to finish up our last commercial break here on Abel Franzi's Voices of the West. It's a good one. Bob Bozbell with us from True West Magazine. Johnny Boggs, Western Writers of America author. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. And Todd Roberts, your hosts for Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll be right back after this.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true west where a large number of westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's
777-1911. Hello? I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Steve won't be very happy about the way this turned out. I never did like any part of it. I don't mind mustering cattle and holding up stages. But when it comes to grabbing women, it's bad business. It's too much like sticking your fist into a hornet's nest.
You're paid to do what you're told, not what you like.
Yeah, and we're the ones that stretch the rope for backfires.
This is the Voices of the West.
We are gonna be cowboys under a western sky. Just riding rope and cowboys until the day we die. We're gonna ride across the prairie and round up all the strays. We are gonna be cowboys all the rest of our days.
Okay, Larry.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, and indeed, we are all cowboys here. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Our guests are Bob Bozbell from True West Magazine and Johnny Boggs, Western Riders of America, author, and that would be the Pals of the West. I think, yeah, Pals of the West.
Yeah.
Joining us there.
Well, the Pals.
And our studio audience, Barb White, has just joined us.
And just increased by one.
I know, huh? All right, fellas, we're about almost out of time here. Closing thoughts on who are the big box, or not the box office, but who are the guys that, you know, that most of the movies are made about. Closing thoughts. Bob, we'll start with you.
Well, I think it's time for some new faces, of course, and I'd like to contribute to that. I've got 10 new movies, Westerns, that I'd like to see.
I've been reading your blog, yes.
Yeah. I'm excited about... there's so many aspects of the West that have never really been covered, and I just think it's ripe for some new areas.
Oh, yeah.
That's my pick.
Johnny?
Oh, what can I say?
I didn't mean to wake you up.
He's writing a book, for God's sake. Give him a break.
He's busy.
Well, here's something we haven't talked about. You know, Pat Garrett. And there's one movie that is one of my favorite Westerns, and Pat Garrett is kind of a co-star. He's played by...
Which one?
Charles Bickford.
Charles
Bickford. It's okay. Four Faces West.
Oh yeah.
It's Joel McRae is in it as kind of a bad guy who's that's really not all that bad because it's Joel. Yeah. So you know, Pat Garrett got a really good turn in Four Faces West, which is just a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Let me ask this real quick. How much importance is the casting? Because if you get the right guy playing him, that makes a big difference. It's like Paul Newman playing Billy the Kid. No.
That don't work.
Yeah, but, the right puppy, and you got a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to remember that it wasn't supposed to be Paul Newman. It was supposed to be James Dean.
Right.
And that was an entirely different movie. So I think casting is really important. You know, there's an old saw in Hollywood, you know, movies aren't released, good movies, they escape. And I think that, you know, there's so many factors, it's hard to really predict anything.
All right, we're getting into the waning moments of the program. Bob, time for some selfless promotion. What have you got going, sir?
Well, we've been working on a new issue on True West Magazine. It's our November-December issue. And we're really having a lot of fun with it. And we just did the 20 Weirdest Westerns. You got to check that out. That's
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've got that saved electronically. Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Vera did that, and it's just fabulous. And what I love about his list is rather than talking about the director or, you know, talking about the script and why it's so good like that, he says, Murray talking to in Stripes, when he was talking to the crew, he said, "Who cried at Old Yeller? You all."
I'm crying now just thinking about Old Yeller. Really, I miss it, though.
It impressed me so much. I rewatched it. I haven't seen it since 1958.
Oh, my God.
And it's a good little movie.
It's Disney's best Western.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Johnny Boggs, what you got going?
Oh, well, I could point out that you could read more if you go online or to a bookstore and order Billy the Kid on film, 1911 to 2012 from McFarlane by Johnny D. Boggs, or Jesse James in the Movies from McFarlane by Johnny D. Boggs. But right now
just by the damn books.
yes. Right now I'm working on a Renegade Roads piece for True West that I have to file by Monday. So
uh-oh,
deadline.
And the boss is on the other end there, so you better
run. I know.
Let's hear that typewriter typing here in the background.
All right, we may have asked this once before, but Todd Roberts, it's your turn to ask that infamous last question.
All right, Johnny Boggs and Bob Bozbell, you're both going to get this question, and I'm not going to do any of the hyperbole I usually do because neither one of you are susceptible to pressure. Bob Bozbell, your favorite film or television show about our subject today. Not in general. Today's subject.
Ah, yes.
Oh.
And then, well, Johnny, you will go next.
Now, here, I got to answer this like this. We have been arguing like cats and dogs about the Old West is moving, and you can't talk, the heart of the Old West was close to the war, And I've got people on staff saying it's now moved to the 1940s. And so, and you know, because that's, you know, 50 years ago. And so if I look at it that way, I think it's the last picture show. That's Lou Zeppelin and with a current title.
Okay.
Well, Mr. fair enough.
Mr. Boggs.
Last picture show. Gosh, how can you top the last picture show?
That's true.
That's pretty good, too.
Well, my only response would be Paper Moon.
No.
But that's, you know.
Okay. No.
In any event, they will argue until the cows may or may not come home. I don't
and
know.
I want you gentlemen to think about this till the next show. I propose that the West started at Jamestown.
There you go, because everything was west of that. Fellas, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Let me just say HUD, just so I'm not tying with Bob Bozeman. I'll say HUD.
All right.
Wow.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's a real pleasure as far as I'm concerned, and I think Bunker as well.
Oh, I'm more tickled than a sack full of squirrels.
It was fun having you fellas on, and don't be strangers, all right?
Be strange, but don't be strangers.
Yeah, be strange, don't be strangers. That's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts.
78. 79. ADOs to all our favorite bad guys, good guys, and in-between guys.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.